God is telling women everywhere that it is time for you to come forth and take your place. Not only does God redeem our lives from the pit, He crowns us with His love and compassion, satisfies our desires with good, and renews our youth. It's time to allow God to position us in the anointing and in the role that He has created for us as women. Stay tuned as Lisa and I conclude this special teaching.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome their daughter, Kelly Copeland, and her special guest, Lisa Bevere, to today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kelly Copeland, and I'm so glad that you're joining me today. All this week, I've had this most wonderful woman here with me, Lisa Bevere. Lisa, thank you so much.
It's been so much fun.
It's been a good ministry.
It has.
And God has got a message. And He's wanting us to yell it loud.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so I want you to really purposefully, you know, the things of God are very purposeful. If you want to be victorious in God, you're going to have to be on purpose. You can't just hear the word and kind of do it. You can't just go to church and make it happen. Right. You're going to have to lay hold of it. And you know, that's one thing when a woman makes a decision to lay hold of something.
She's tenacious.
She is very tenacious about it. And as women, let's lay hold of God's plan. Let's don't wait on anybody else. Let's don't, you know, and God's saying the same things to the men, only He's telling them their part of what He needs for them to do. He's talking to the kids. He's talking to the teens. He's talking to
women,
the young and the old. Why? Because it's time to really, for all things to come to His plan. It's time for things to shape up and be like He wants them to be. And one thing about God, He's very patient, but when it's time, it's time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. He compares Himself to a woman in labor. He's like, okay, this is the way it is. I've been quiet for a long time. Now I'm going to cry out. It's time.
It's time.
Absolutely.
And He is. That's what He's saying.
Yeah. You know, and I love that God partners with women with timing. You know, when I look at the mother of Jesus, when I look at Mary, and, you know, it was 30 years before Jesus did anything. And they're at the wedding of Canaan, and they run out of wine. And Mary goes over to Jesus, and like, they're out of wine. And you know, Jesus goes, woman, it's not my time. I know He said woman, because my boys try to call me woman, because Jesus called their mother woman. I'm like, you call me woman, I'll put you down on the ground, you are not Jesus. But yeah, they would, you
Jesus
know,
Jesus can call woman. Me woman.
Yeah, Jesus called me woman, but you know, it's woman, it's not my time. Why do you involve me in this? And you know, I could never be married, because I am half Sicilian. I would have stomped my foot, and I would have said, okay, that's it. It's been 30 years of nothing. You've been making chairs. You've been making table. My friends are out of wine. I am asking you, Jesus, I am your mother. Now I'm going to ground you if you do not do something right now here. And God was like, Lisa, I'm sorry. They would stone you. You're going to have to be fast forwarded 2,000 years. You are not for that time. I'm for this time. But Jesus' mother, she was so amazing. She didn't argue with him. She didn't threaten to ground him. She didn't yell about anything. She didn't say anything. She just turned to the servants and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And I feel like that is what God is saying right now in the spirit to the women, to the servants. Whatever he tells you to do, begin to do it. And what that was, Jesus, he said, okay, over there, you see those big ceremonial washing things filled with water? Go draw some out. Give it to the master of the ceremony. Let him taste it. We know the story. The guy tastes it. He goes, wait a minute. Most people, they serve their good wine first. And when people have had too much to drink, they bring out the bad. But you have saved the best for now. And I have to be honest with you, the first time I remember reading that as a scripture, I was a little annoyed. I was like, wait a minute, God, I don't think this is the best right now. Because I'm looking at the Old Testament, mm-hmm. and you're like a pillar of fire, cloud of smoke, opening up the earth, swallowing people that mouth off. God, that was pretty amazing. And then you're taking people through the water. You're feeding them supernaturally. Then you see Jesus. He's healing everybody, casting out devils. Then you see the book of Revelations, and that is amazing. God is going to show up. He's going to show off, and everybody's going to know. But you're saying the best for now. God, this is not the best right now. And God began to tell with me, he said, cry out for something more then. Cry out for something more. Because God is always the most powerful when we bring him into our moment, into our now. And so what happens? We see Jesus turn the water to wine, and we see that was the beginning of his ministry. It was his mother that said, hey, it's time. It's time. And I believe mothers in the house of God are rising up and beginning to say, hey, you know, it's time. Another woman who did that in the Bible was Deborah. Deborah was a judge in Israel. She sat under a palm tree and judged Israel. She was also the prophetess. I first read it, I said, I want to apply for Deborah's judge, that judge position. I would love to sit under a palm tree and judge people. I would get paid for doing that. I do that without getting paid. I judge people all the time. That would be so amazing. I think that would be great. I have the God card on the prophet. I would have the God card on the top, you know, top spiritual authority, top ruling authority. But when I really looked at the life of Deborah, do you know that she actually had ruled for 20 years and nothing had happened? For 20 years, she sat under the palm tree because there was no other place for her to hold court, not because it was luxurious, but because there was no other place because an enemy had oppressed God's people. And all she did, Kelly, for 20 years was navigate the infighting and the backbiting among the Israelites. They killed my ox. He, you know, stole this. Okay, so you're right, you're wrong. I'm sorry, I'm Deborah, I'm the judge. You can't argue with me, go away. I mean, and that was it for 20 years. And then something changed. It said that a day came when Deborah awoke and arose, not a judge, not a prophet. She was both those things, but a mother in Israel. She awoke and she looked around and she said, you know what? The way things are, it's not the way they should be. And I am going to stand in the gap until things change from the way they are to the way they should be. And when she awoke, she immediately sent for someone named Barak or Barak, which means lightning or one who strikes suddenly. She sent for a prince who was in exile. And I believe in the spirit right now, Kelly, we've got a lot of princes that are in exile waiting for the mothers in the house of God to say, is God not with you? Now go and engage the enemy. She immediately began to encourage the man that God was with him, that he could engage the enemy, that God would begin to fight on behalf of his people. I love that story. I mean, it's just so powerful that when the mothers of the Deborahs awake in the house of God, the princes will arise. The princes will come forth that have been in hiding, that have been oppressed. They're going to come forth. So women aren't going to arise and oppress the men. The women are going to rise and awake the princes. I mean, that is just so powerful. And so this happens. And what happens is Barak says, hey, you know what? I'm not going to go unless you go with me. And Deborah goes, all right, the way you're going about this, the honor is going to go to a woman. And most people, if they don't read the whole story, think she's talking about herself, but she isn't. She's talking about one of my favorite women. She's talking about a woman named Jael. And it's really amazing because Jael is not an Israelite woman. She is a Canaanite woman. She is not even part of God's covenant people. She is one of those people on the peripheral. But what happens is, when God begins to shift things, he changes allegiances and he changes alliances. And right now, Kelly, there's a lot of people, maybe their family, for decades have had allegiances and alliances with the enemy. And God is saying, this is your time to make an allegiance and alliance with God. For good and for restoration, and to engage this enemy that has ran you over and oppressed your life for all of this time. You are mine. And so what happens is the Israelites gather, the enemy hears about it, they come out with 900 iron chariots, they're going to run over the people. But you know what? It says that when the chariots came, the wheels started falling off. And the people said, oh no, we are in trouble. This is what happened to the Egyptians. And the confusion hits the camp and God routs the enemy. It said that the stars in heaven fought for Israel that day. And the captain, the commander of the army of the enemy, runs to the tent of this woman named Jael. And he says, hide me, hide me. Give me something to drink. I'm thirsty. And this woman's watching for him. And he asks for water, but she doesn't give him water. She gives him milk and a goblet fit for a king, which kind of has this principle that even when we're dealing with spiritual warfare, we do not speak in a way that dishonors our nobility in God. She gives him this goblet. He drinks it. He falls asleep. And when he's asleep, She takes a tent peg and she stabs this guy through the head, kills him. I would have just shot him. But J.L. understands a principle that all women need to know. God will always anoint whatever is in your hand, whatever you've always been faithful with, what you already proved that you know how to steward well. That will be the first thing God will anoint in your life. J.L. had been setting up that tent for a long time with the tent peg. She was hammering it and hammering it and hammering it. She developed the strength. She developed the muscle. And all of a sudden, when God came along and added his anointing to that, it took out the enemy. When the enemy comes into your household, you don't need to call the pastor. You don't need to call anybody. You need to take him out with whatever is in your hands. And God is anointing women right now to do warfare for their children, for their possessions, for their promises, for their inheritance, for their legacy, to really fight for those things that they steward. And so then we all know the story. And then right at that moment, you know, the Barak is outside of the tent. He sees this. And they like sing the song of Jael. And the word Jael means valued. When women begin to understand their value, then God will anoint them to use whatever is in their hand to begin to defeat the enemy. And that is such a powerful promise for each of us as women, because all of us have different things in our hand. I mean, I don't know what's in your hand, but God knows what is in the hand of every single woman out there. And they need to believe that God is going to anoint them. Another way God partners with women is giving life. You know, I didn't even understand timing until I became a mother. And you probably feel the same way, but before I became a mom, I thought I was in charge of time. I remember I was like, okay, when I found I was pregnant with Addison, I wrote John a letter. I was like, okay, here's the deal. I'm pregnant. We're going to have a baby between this time and this time. And I prefer it on a Wednesday so that I could be in the hospital and it would be awesome and you could help me, you know, for over the weekend. But babies come when they want to come. Mm-hmm. I mean, I prayed and I prayed and I did everything. I made John pray, kept him up all night, walked for many, many miles. But, you know, babies come in the fullness of time, mm-hmm. when it's complete time. And I remember I got huge and I got large, massive pregnant woman here in Dallas, Texas, in the heat. I was so uncomfortable. People started saying things to me like, are you still pregnant? I was like, no. I'm just fat now. Would you like me to sit on you? I mean, I was like, stop. You can't talk to people like that. But I was just so big. Back then, we were modest about our belly button. So I actually put a Band-Aid over my belly button, which was sticking out that far at that time. Now I suppose I'd cut a hole in my maternity dress and stick an earring in it. But back then, we were like, okay, we're going to be like modest about our pregnancies. And I was just huge and pregnant. I went 2 weeks over and I came to my doctor. And he was like, you know what? This has gone long enough. You have stretch marks all over you. You've got ribs detaching. Your body cannot hold this baby any longer. You need to show up tomorrow morning, and we're going to induce you. Now, I was a Dallasite woman, and I had been immersed in the culture for a number of years, and so I did what any good Dallas woman would do at that point. I went out and had my nails done. Absolutely. I found out I was going to labor the next day. I got a manicure. My baby couldn't see me without French manicure. And so I went out, and I got a manicure, and then I called on my friends. Hey, guess what? Getting induced tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. It's going to be awesome. Why don't you come and have lunch with me? Yeah, I'm just going to flex twice and I'm going to pop out a baby. It's going to be great. Just come around 11, 12. There. Ones that never had children were like, sure, I'll be there. The ones that had children were like, you know what? I'm just going to pray that you go into labor on your own. You don't have to be induced. I was like, oh, it's so not a problem. I'm part American Indian. We just squat and drop them. This is not a problem. And they're like, oh, okay, okay. So I show up to the hospital, full on makeup, earrings, highlights touched up, nails done. All the nurses look at me and they go into a huddle and they begin to argue with each other. Like, I'm not taking her. I am not helping this woman. She has no idea what she is here for. She thinks she is here for a fashion show. She has no idea she is here for labor. And I was like, why is everybody so grumpy? So a really grumpy nurse comes out. She's like, get in there. Take off all your jewelry. Stop smiling. You know, put on that really ugly gown that ties up the back that's potentially very humiliating. I want you to put that on right now. And I was like, can I wear two? She was like, yes, you can wear two. So I put it on and she comes in and do the whole assessment. And she was like, you are not even ready to have this baby. You should not be here. We're going to put you on Pitocin for 12 hours and then we're going to send you home. I was like, without a baby? She's like, without a baby. I'm like, that is not right. And she's like, well, that's the way it's going to be because you are not ready. And I was like, I am ready. I've been praying. I've been praying. She's like, no, you're not ready. So they started the process and nothing progressed. But somewhere like 10 hours into it of excruciating, ridiculous contractions, my doctor was able to break my water. He was able to somehow do that. And now the nurse is angry because she can't send me home once they broke the water. And after 12 hours of horrific labor, something happened. A new nurse came on the scene, and she took one look at my chart where my contractions went straight up. A minute and a half later, straight down. 30 seconds later, straight up. And she just said, "Baby, we're going to make this so it doesn't hurt anymore." And I hugged her. And then I completely betrayed John. I was like, he would not let me get pain medication. They were like, "Sir, you're going to have to leave the room." He's like, "She made me promise. She made me promise to do it natural." I was like, "I am hurting." So anyway, I hugged this woman. I think she's my best friend. I think we're going to lunch next week. I mean, I'm just thinking I've completely bonded with her. And I had my son an hour and a half later. Why? Because the shifts have changed in the spirit. We don't have evil midwives anymore. Women saying, "It was hard for us and it's going to be hard for you." We got mothers in the house of God now that are saying, "Baby, I'm going to make it so it can hurt you the least amount possible. I know that you are giving birth to something that is way bigger than you think you can deliver. But I'm going to be here for you in a little bit. You're going to hold some life in your arms." There is a shift change in the spirit, and the women are beginning to say, "God, it's time." Not "it's our turn." Not "men, sit down. It is our turn to preach." But "it's time." It's time for the sons. It's time for the daughters. It's time for the old. It's time for the young. It's time for the mothers. It's time for the fathers. It's time for the word of heaven to be released on earth. It's time. And so I just believe that God is prophetically saying to every woman that is sitting around here, it's time. It's time for your gift to come forth. It's time for what is in your hand to be anointed. It's time for you to ask for the release of heaven. You know, Kelly and I, we're doing this because we have a heart for what is in you to come forth. This isn't about what's in us to come forth. This is what is in you to come forth. See, we need your contribution. What you have to bring to the body of Christ, what you have to bring to this earth, it's time for. We need that wine that is in your vessel. We are tired of saying that water is wine. We want the joy. We want the strength. We want the laughter back in the house of God. We want the fullness of the Spirit. We want the signs in heavens and the wonders on earth. We want the fullness of the gospel. You know, we're going to be faithful to God forever, but we are going to see those promises from afar and begin to call them close. And we need the daughters of God to come into that place because it's your time for that gift and that life in you to come forth.
And what can God do with a man and a woman functioning in their right, anointing, in their right roles? What can God do with a mother who is willing to teach and humble herself and teach her daughter and take the time? Yes, it's timely. Yes, it takes energy and time on your knees. And it's a lot easier just let your daughters go the way they want to and think, well, you know, train them up
for it.
Yeah, and think that, well, God will help them, God will fix them. But the mothers that are willing to do what it takes to literally train their daughters. And with that, what could God do with daughters that look at their mothers and say, train me?
Yeah, like
teach
your daughters.
Me.
Just so beautiful with that.
They are, and they're hungry to know. Mm-hmm. And so what God can do with that for the next generation. You know, God, you said earlier how, you know, you were thinking this is not as good when you were saying that, you know, you used to be a pillar of cloud,
cloud and
smoke,
yes,
signs and wonders. And Jesus used to do all these things. Well, as a mother, I know you feel the same way about this. It's so much more satisfying for me. I mean, I could get up
to establish your children in godliness.
Yeah, and or I could get up and do something on a stage or sing or act or something like that. I could get up there and, or I could be in a Commander Kelly movie or something or preach or whatever, and that's great. And people could come up and say, "Oh, you did so great." And it's like, well, thank you. You know, bless the Lord, praise the Lord, all that. It's fun. I'd so much rather see my kids on a stage. Yeah. I would so much rather see them singing, them preaching,
amen,
and hear people go, "Wow, your kids, the word of God is in them." Yeah. And what God is just like that.
Yeah.
Well, it's greater to him
to see
for it to be coming out of us. In the word, you know, it was coming out of Jesus. It was coming out, you know, it was coming from the Spirit of God, these great things. But he's ready for us to rise up and allow him to work in us the things and to allow the miracles and the signs and the wonders. We're supposed to be drawing men to us.
Right. Our children are for signs and wonders, the Bible says. I love that. Me and my children who are with me. They're not supposed to be behind us. With us are for signs and wonders.
They're running away from you.
Yeah. But we are not what we do. We are what we pass on.
Yeah.
And I love that you have that legacy. And for me, I'm the same way. Kelly, if I travel the world and I preach this, and my own children don't know how to walk in it or get it, then I'm going to be conflicted with how well I've taken to steward my home, because it's first my home, then it's my city, then it's my nation. It goes out, radiates out, and it needs to be authentic where we are at.
And you know, today, Lisa, I see so prominent in families, women, even maybe women that pretty much have their home together, the devil's talked so many of them into being just me and mine.
Yeah.
And not reaching out into their church community.
Or gathering young girls or gathering young boys to come in and training them and equipping them that don't have parents.
I don't have time for that. You know, I'm so busy with my own family. That's not God's best either.
Mm-mm.
So tell us in this last little bit, what do we do?
Well, I think that we need to say, you know what, God, it's time. Everything I've held back from you, I lay it down right now. God, everything that I've been afraid to do, I want to do it, and I want to do it well. God, prioritize my life, prioritize my home, prioritize my relationship with you. I want to bring forth life. I don't want to sit and judge. And that's what we've got so many people doing in the church. They're just sitting and judging. I want to lift up my eyes, and I want to see the difference between the way things are and the way they should be. And I want to stand in the gap to bring that reconciliation, that restoration between those two ends of the spectrum.
And then the key is for you to have the nerve and the fortitude on the inside to obey God.
Yep.
And just do daily what he tells you. Allow him to correct you. You know, you can tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I want. What Kelly and Lisa have been talking about. Mm-hmm. I want that. But then you have to go the next step and say, talk to me, correct me, show me. He's so good. When I ask him to correct me, he will. And you know, sometimes you go, oh Lord, don't talk to me about that. But we can't be that. We have to just say, Lord, show me. There in Psalm 139 it says, Lord, show me if there's any wicked way in me. Yeah. Ask the Lord that. Let him show you. Let him take you deeper. And let him cause you to flourish in the role and in the anointing that he's created for you as a woman. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I got pregnant when I was 17. I wasn't walking with the Lord at that time. I was raised in church. I knew better, but in high school, I steered away from that. And I ended up getting pregnant at 17. I had graduated high school a year early, and I was starting my first year of college, and I ended up getting pregnant over the summer, and I gave my baby up for adoption. It's an open adoption, and I still get to see her, and in seeing her, she's two now, so in seeing her grow and develop, I wanted what's best for her, and that was my decision, you know, to give her up, because I wanted what's best for her. I think all mothers want what's best for their children, you know, no matter what age, no matter what situations they're in, they want what's best for their children.
Today is Friday, and it's offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. You know, people need to hear the truth of God's Word. It will set them free. It'll change their life. It'll change the lives around them. Mm-hmm. When you give into this ministry, when you sow your seed into this broadcast, you're making that possible for people. You're making it possible for your neighbors, for the people around you to latch on to what God is doing for them. And when you sow, remember that you get a harvest from that. And you know what? That's one thing here at the ministry, that we pray for your harvesting of your seed. We agree with you that your seed is powerful, that it grows up, that it's not choked out. And we agree with you that it comes into your hands. The hundredfold return is making its way to you. So I'm going to pray for you today as you sow your seed. Whatever the Lord tells you to do, just do it. Father, I thank you for every person watching this. I thank you, Father, for their seed that they have, that you've instructed them to give. Lord, if all they have is they say, well, I can pray for the ministry. We value that. Yes. We receive those prayers. We receive the love of God that comes through our partners and friends. And Father, I'm asking you to bless them, especially for their support of this broadcast. Lord, I know I have favor with you, and I can ask you, Lord, that as they sow this seed today, that you give them an especially fast return. Mm-hmm. I put my faith on that, Lord, yes, that their return will be rapid, mm-hmm, and quick in Jesus' name. And you are causing their life to flourish. You're causing the word to be opened and unveiled to them, yes, in the name of Jesus. And we just speak the life of God into their homes in Jesus' name. Amen. We so appreciate you. And Lisa, we appreciate you being here this week. And you know what? We're not done with Lisa. We're going to make her stay and work another week, awesome, for us. You know what? Lisa and I both believe in church. God says, go to, the word says that he put the pastor there to bless you and to cause you to grow up. And we believe that. So go to church this weekend. Don't just make an appearance, but go and bring the anointing and the supply that's in you to bless somebody. So be blessed today. Be blessed this weekend. Thank you, Lisa, for being with us. This is Kelly Copeland and Lisa Bevere reminding you, until next week, we'll be with you, that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To order a copy of this broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. This is the year of the open door, and the blessing is yours. Couldn't make it to the Believer's Conventions this year? Then log on to our free webcast at kcm.org and catch up on what you missed.
The very love that created this universe, that the very love, I have the equipment inside me now since I've been reborn. And now that the teacher and the guide and the leader and the power, the blessing himself is living on the inside of me, I can love you with the love of God. Get up! Get up! Get up and declare my word, saith the Lord, for your victory is at hand in greater measure than ever before. Not because of greater work and labor on your part, but because of your faith in the blessing, and your inheritance is at hand. Rise up and head through the door. This is the hour of your victory. You will not fail it.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.
Monday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
I knew the number one question I was going to get from the girls were, how far can we go sexually with our boyfriends before it's a sin? Because it's not just the question of the youth. It's the question of the whole church. Mm-hmm. How close can we come to disobedience with God without losing his blessing?